Jump right in here. Hi, I'm April Cordero. Thanks for being here. This is a really different kind of session. I'm going to talk for maybe 5 minutes, and then what we really want to do is hear from you. And I'm actually doing this presentation for Faith Stoltz, who works for BioLogos. I'm actually on the board of directors of BioLogos, and I owed Faith a big one because I ditched her for something else in the past, and she had to cover for me, and she couldn't come here, and I'm like, I'll cover for you. So I'm breaking even. And the reason she asked me to cover is because I was one of the authors of the BioLogos Integrate curriculum. So I'm assuming everybody knows what BioLogos is, but I do the 2 second. It's a nonprofit organization that started, became a little more popular and around 2009. So it's been around 12, 13 years. And the focus of BioLogos is really to bring together the science that NAS and AAAS and Nature and Science magazine, that science together with faith and talk about how we can integrate those two. How is it that these two can speak to each other and in an effort to just communicate better? Does that make sense? So it's really, we've got some great words here, and this, you know, comes off the website, but really that's what it's about. So when I've got students in my classroom and they're like, I've got questions about Adam and Eve, or I've got questions about Genesis, or I have questions about genetics, or, you know, it's a place where you can go, you can get some articles written by scientists, by theologians, by biblical scholars, and it's a place to learn. They also have a podcast, and now we have a curriculum, Integrate. So our core values, it's Christ-centered faith, and that's what we can agree on. The Christ-centered faith, rigorous science, and gracious dialogue. And so we really do try to promote gracious dialogue. So about 6 years ago, we found out there was a real need among homeschool parents and Christian school teachers that they wanted a curriculum that would come alongside their biology curriculum. So you're teaching high school bio, and you're using a secular high school biology book, you know, Campbell or whatever else. Maybe you're even teaching AP Bio at home, or you're teaching AP Bio at a Christian school. Well, they wanted something to come alongside that curriculum, to accompany it, that brings faith and the conversation about how faith and science can integrate. And so we created Integrate, and there are 6 authors of Integrate. We ended up being all women. We started with a man in the group, but then he dropped out right away. Maybe he felt a little overwhelmed by the estrogen in the room. I don't know. But so it's 6 women. 2 of them currently homeschool their children. Both of them were educators in the at the high school level. Myself, ecology and evolution biologist that specializes in pedagogy. Sarah Bobbiel Rolls is an evolutionary biologist who did research in evolutionary biology, and now she's in pedagogy as well. Catherine Applegate, who works for BioLogos, is a molecular biologist. And I forgot somebody. Oh, my goodness. Diane Sweeney teaches at a Christian school in Northern California. She's a master's degree in science. So we had a blast. We would get together and rent Airbnbs and write curriculum. And I'm not kidding. We get together. We get a room for a week together, 12-hour days. And we did this over 5 years. And it was a very iterative process. We'd write stuff that would accompany. So for example, let's say you're learning about evolution and you might start teaching a little bit about evolution using the textbook, and then you could jump over to the Integrate curriculum and there's a video of me on the evolution one because I know that one best, and I talk about integration of evolution faith a little bit, and then there's a devotional that you can use, and you go back to the textbook, you teach a little textbook if you want, then we've got some activities, some theology, et cetera, and then the whole thing ends with an Integrate, where all the things that they learned about in their biology textbook and they learned about in the curriculum, they do a project. So for example, the one that just comes to mind in the creation care unit ends with you're sitting at dinner with your grandma and grandpa, and you talk about all the things you've been learning about caring for the environment, and your grandma says, yeah, caring for the environment is really good, but caring for people is more important. How would you respond to your grandma? And so they spent, you know, a couple weeks thinking about both learning all about the environment, but also learning about how caring for the environment really impacts people and disadvantaged people. And so it's really about tying those together, and we give this. So this is really what Integrate's about. You've got your regular biology textbook, and you've got this alongside curriculum support, I want to say. All right, so Great, that's what it is. We've got Panic at Caesar bundles. I'm trying to read some of these. Cells and Desire, Genetic Diversity and Human Dignity, DNA Technologies. Each one has a video of a scientist talking about how they integrated humans and the rest of creation, the fossil record and faith, evolution and God's creation, caring for people on the planet, seeing God in creation, climate change, biodiversity, science is a Christian vocation at the top, ways of knowing, which gets in that philosophy stuff and science of nature of science and faith and science foundation. So you just Google integrate biologos and you can get a lot of information about that. So what we're doing now within the curriculum just launched in April, thanks to Templeton Foundation and several other funders. Finally, 5.5 years, it's done and it launched, and that's great. We have another grant, and the grant in one component of the grant is to provide training to teachers, to K-12 teachers, or primarily high school teachers or junior high teachers, and some parents on using the curriculum. And it's to equip students to study science in college. As college professors, we think you have important insight into the challenges students face when studying science in college. And that's why we have this session. That's my warm up, because this is what we want to know. What do you wish that a K-12, or you can think of high school or junior high teacher, but you know, for college professors in the room or people teaching at a college level, you can think about your high school, the high school kids. What do you wish these teachers were doing to prepare students to study science in college as a Christian? Does my question make sense? Like, if we're going to be doing training with these teachers, what do we want to help train them to do? Not just to use the curriculum, but also these skills. So I have another way to add a few questions to it. And then I'm going to go back to that little QR code and allow people to type in things. But at this point, I would like it to be sort of a give and take. So think of how students have been able to maintain and grow their faith while studying science in college. And that actually really happens. It happens all the time here, because that's what we focus on in our college classes, is to, how do I accept the science and maintain my faith? Do they have any distinguishing characteristics, these kids that can do that, these college kids you interact with? What is it about them that maybe we can help these teachers nurture even before they get to college, right? Are there any lessons or concepts or perspectives that you wish someone had told them before they reached your college classroom? Or what did you personally wish you understood earlier in your life about the relationship between science and faith? Does it make sense? So this is a QR code, phone, you can get it, take you to a Google Doc, or you could just type in with your cell phone. I want to hear from you. I have my notepad and I'll jot down a few ideas and I'm listening, but what should I do? I'm sitting in a room of 10th and 11th grade teachers in Idaho, North Carolina in the fall to do some training with Integrate. Other than just showing them the curriculum, what else can I tell them? What do college professors want those people in the room to know? So now it's your show. I did my 6 minutes. You get to do the rest.
Critical thinking.
So what do you mean by that? Can you unpack critical thinking?
Collecting data as an example of in God's creation. Do abductive reasoning to get the most reasonable interpretation of what God did through his history of sustaining the earth.
What's the critical thinking piece of that? You sound
the abductive thinking.
The deductive thinking.
Yeah. So abductive.
Abductive thinking. Sorry, I thought you said.
Yeah, this is geology. Historical things are forensic science. So,
yeah.
What laws of physics and chemistry and biology are out there? And when we find things, fossil record, geology, astronomy,
help them.
What happened?
Deductive thinking, yeah. And simpler examples of, so that they come understanding what that kind of thinking is. Got it. Yes, Brian.
Yeah, I think for me at least, it would have been really helpful to know that there were Christians who were serious about their faith that did, and really pillars of the faith that also agree with science. Because I've told John my story before. It's like, I got to college, I was like, oh, I'll disprove evolution. Like, okay, well, I can't disprove evolution. I think I'm the only person in the whole world that believes in evolution and Jesus. Like, that's what I felt like at a non-Christian school, by the way.
Who else felt that way? I did, for sure. Mm-hmm. I gave
so
up my
feet. It would be useful to know some of those people that would have been on the other side before.
Yeah, role models.
Okay. And we're to add on to that, sorry, raise my hand. Does it add a network, like maybe grow a network of K-12? So like there's the role model, but then there's also the peer. Like a K-12 network.
Unpack that a little more for me. What is a K-12
network? Sorry, because I didn't raise my hand and I was a professor.
So. Okay, but I'll go to the next. Go ahead. Unpack what a K-12 network means.
It just popped in as you were speaking, because I was very similar, and what was helpful to me was, yes, role models, but maybe role models are a little bit more distant. Maybe they're not, but maybe they are. And they're certainly helpful. I just didn't post around role models. But also peers, someone who's walking through it as you go through it. So with the online tools we have accessible, with my logos with online tools, even if it's something as simple as a chat forum, or you know, for teachers to have peers or to have collaborators that they're going with, but for students as well, some sort of controlled area where students can share their ideas.
I like that. The Creation Care young girl, and it was in high school, it started this whole global change movement. What was her name? Greta. Right, Greta. And you think about, right, get Greta talking to other. Oh, nice. Look at that. Tied together. I'm sorry for those of you guys who have been here for all three talks. They put me twice in the same session. So, and talk over there, run over here. Yes, you had a comment.
Yes. Particularly for lower levels, it's going to be hard to get into some of the higher things about science. But our modern perception of science is very positivistic. Scientism is crawling in our culture, absolutely crawling, particularly at the lower levels. It's just crammed into our kids from day one. Anything you can do to disengage that, like you talk about role models, famous people in science who are also well known for their faith. In fact, in some respects, a lot of the positivism in science, though it's been there all along, it's only popped into science in recent years. And you talked about atheism to Isaac Newton, he would have looked at you like you were crazy. I mean, it's just like the idea of separating this from God was like, huh? And maybe a good way to do it at lower levels is through a history of science, because that's just stories. Stories can always be done at a lower level.
I'm curious, the people in the room, in your college biology or science classes, who's doing that in a science class, not in a science and faith course? But is anyone actually doing it in their science class? Anybody delving a little bit in the history of science at all? Any biology professors that dig a little into Darwin at least? Or what do you teach?
Biology.
And what do you dig into a little bit?
Sorry, my brain's not working.
You're totally fine. I hear that. I hear that.
And some genetics history, some evolutionary history like Darwin and things like that.
Louise, I see you raising your hand too.
Well, I was going to say there is no blue in biology and chemistry courses. I teach chemistry, physical chemistry. But in my history of science course, then I get to walk students through a few hundred years of history, really establishing the relationship with the church and how the church starts actually teaching science. And that is a piece that I think is pretty much missing.
Yeah, in the 90s, for 9 years, I taught high school biology, and there was no room. The curriculum was jam-packed, and it's worse now if you talk to K-12 teachers because of standards, and you got to be on the same page every day as every other teacher, so it's like even less flexibility than there used to be. And so I love the idea of bringing in the history of science, and it's wondering how to squeeze it in, right? How to maybe through videos that they can watch when they're at home on YouTube that gives some information about some of the scientists might be a good way to do that. Yeah, I like that. Yes?
So, I'm not about to say your science, but like, I just feel like you don't have to do the whole history of science. You just need two or three exemplars. I would say like Pascal. I really don't think Newton was a deist or anything else, but Pascal certainly what the pot is, right? In modern times, there's Charlie Townes, who invented the laser, right? Who was pretty interesting, and certainly Francis, right? Who's very clearly. So just three examples. give you hope, right? That you can be a thinking thinker. So I really have but I don't think you need the whole history, because the whole history is littered with all kinds of other people, like Darwin, who lost his faith, and so it's not clear that you want to bring in all these red herrings, right?
Yes.
I think one thing, partly I wish it was the church doing this, but also K-12 teachers, letting students know it's okay to not have it all figured out as far as science and faith, and for most of us, it was a process, and it has changed over time, and there's things that we think, you know, we got it figured out in this area, but not over here yet, and we're still working on it. I think that's one thing I wish K-12 teachers were doing, and a second one that I wish the church would also dovetail in with is that science professors are not out to get you. We're not all out to get you. And I taught at a secular school for the first 12 years of my career. And, you know, I'm not out to get you. I'm not out to destroy your faith necessarily. Maybe there are some out there who are, but I think most probably aren't. We just want to teach science. So,
yes,
yeah,
Steve.
It's much better to have a student express opposition to evolution than to sit there shuffling around looking glum with their Bible in front of them. Because I was in an area, religiously conservative area, and that did happen, a region of the country, and that did happen sometimes. And I don't know if somebody has told them, keep your mouth shut, or you'll flunk a class. Mm-hmm. There probably are a few teachers, but very few of them are going to make it impossible to pass the class because you're questioning evolution. But it's better to say, okay, if you have to say something, just if you really have to say something, go ahead and say it, because I sometimes appreciate that, actually. I mean, it's okay. I didn't tell them I necessarily agreed with their view, but that's okay. Nobody's going to chew you out here. Just let them have their little peace. I think they would feel relieved after that, too. Much more than ones that just look along.
So I did a study and I interviewed a whole bunch of students. They were college students. And the most resistance comes when they had a teacher, either in the high school or the youth pastor or the college classroom, that made them adopt a view. So when that person said, you have to be a young earth creationist, or you have to be idea, or you have to accept evolution, like wherever position it was at, when the teacher made them have that, they resisted that the most, and they wanted to give up their faith the most in those situations. And the you can't ask questions type of thing, which I think said a lot of youth, that student said a lot of youth pastors, would stop you from asking questions. You're not allowed, you can't ask those kind of questions, that means you're not a good Christian. So I think that ties with what you're saying, is allow these kids to ask the questions, provide spaces for them to explore. I mean, God's big enough to handle our questions. My goodness, if God can't handle our questions, this is a pretty minuscule God. So, yeah, I like that a lot. It's very fascinating when you interview your college students. So that's a big 10 years of my research. I've been interviewing college students, and you learn a lot about things.
So yeah, I'm excited with, I don't know much about this, but I'm assuming that evolution too has, there are certain problems with it, right? It's not a complete, even Stephen Jay Gould and Alpha Mind, little bit, things punctuate equilibrium and all these. So does anybody teach those issues? Because all science is provisional, right? It keeps changing. And I'm just worried that it's taught in high school kind of like dogma, right? And there's no distinction between the philosophy. I mean, it's great. There's lots of predictions that have been true, but there are holes in the theories too, and issues that real serious biologists have worried about, I think. I'm not sure. I mean, you guys are biologists. But does that even get revealed to the high school?
Yeah, so I think what I'm hearing you saying is we sort of deliver science, and I agree with you, and it happens in the college classroom, almost just as much, at least undergrad, we deliver science as a done package. Mm-hmm. We deliver science as, here's what we know, without all those things that us scientists know or periphery things that might be a little, right? I call it committing biological sin when I teach some things because I make it sound like we know for sure as if it's fact, when really, and we don't often give the stories of the development of that understanding and how messy it is and war was. There's some really neat pedagogy and case studies out there to help students learn and develop the ideas on their own. I mean, I know I went on a little tiny tangent, but cell membrane is just the coolest activity you can have students do, where you give them a little bit of information about the cell membrane, like what we knew in 1920s and 30s and 40s, and they designed what the membrane was like, and you're nodding. Mm-hmm. And then they give them, oh, well, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, we found out this more information. So it kind of refutes what they designed, and then they design the next. And then, oh, in the 80s, we then could electron microscope and found this. And then they redesigned. So they see this, you know, you do it in an hour and a half instead of over 8 years. But they can see how the science emerged and changed. It's not that we say cells don't have a membrane. It's that the more that we learn, the more we can, what's the word looking for? Like, clarify, confirm, get rid of, modify the things that we do understand, which is, that's science, right? I mean, that's what we're doing all the time. And so they don't ever see that. They see this delivered product. So I like that you said that, and it just made me think about, you know, helping teachers to realize the process of science.
The honest Paul Samuelson used to say, he talked about physics like that too. He said, all science is an approximation, right? And the point is that the amount you gain in insight by the approximation is worth it compared to the truth you lose by the details. So that's that notion that science is an approximation to the truth, and you're constantly, you know, it's a curve fit, and that just seems to not get to most.
Yeah, and there's variation in everything, right?
It's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Louise first, and then over your time.
So I will start with among my students, especially
a little bit louder, Louise.
I know. Also among my younger students coming in from K-12, who are trained to be very concrete thinkers, to transition to abstract thinkers. Mm-hmm. And I think we're in an increasingly pluralistic world, to hold things in tension, and to be able to really handle that, I think, I don't know how to change K-12 in the public system, because it's definitely very concrete. So I think that's my challenge, I think, when I try to get them to think about it. So I don't know, something that could be advised to the high school teachers in thinking about the curriculum, especially for senior year and whatnot, and especially when it comes to science and faith, definitely holding a lot of things in tension, and towards the more abstract thinking.
Yeah. Tom.
Yeah, I think going on some of the other things with the uncertainty in science and the process, being okay with that without doubting science overall. I think the vaccines is a huge issue with this because, you know, we all remember back when vaccines were first and we were told, okay, take the vaccines, COVID will all go away, and then the boosters, and now it's like, okay, well, vaccine is mutated, so the vaccines don't do anything or do very little. You know, you get the booster, you're still going to get the vaccine, you still get COVID. And now we have a new vaccine. So that process where the best knowledge, the best thinking we have at the time may not be the whole truth because it's a process. It's not the done deal. And I think that sometimes we teach science like we teach history. And we teach it as, okay, here are the facts. And students also realize that there's stuff that ends up in the science textbook. They think it's all science. You know, it's 99% of it never ends up in a textbook. And that's the stuff that gets left by the wayside to get this stuff. And even the stuff in the textbook is not the finished product. So that whole being okay with the uncertainty of it, but not having no faith in science.
Right. And then when something is shown, I always get frustrated. I was teaching in the 2010 or whatever. What's closest, or the whales, are they more close to, what was it, the WIPO? Was it pigs or hippos were more closely related so that we could better understand the phylogeny of whales, right? It's 12 years ago. And then when we figured something out or came to a conclusion, it was like we all threw out the idea that these were all related. And that seems to be this thing, well, we changed what? We changed our mind as scientists. So, okay, then you throw the whole thing out the door. Yeah. They don't understand that. Yeah, change your mind's okay.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, almost I think of concentric circles of these things really aren't changing much. There really are atoms and there really are molecules. And then these things aren't really changing much either, but maybe. But these things on the periphery that we're working on, there's going to be a lot of them.
It's some kind of particle. I mean, you don't know.
Right.
And we're okay with not.
It's a wave in a particle, right, so exactly.
When I teach my classes, I teach them as my revision count. I'm like, well, I'm gonna correct some of the lies that we taught you in Gen Chem. And then next week I say, well, I'm going to correct the lie I taught you last week.
That's why I call it biological sin. So I'm teaching things, I'm thinking, well, that's a shortcut. And yes, sir.
Just, so my segue then would be, is there an opportunity to have K-12 students learn how to recognize pseudoscience or be warned about pseudoscience, or will they have to figure that out for themselves when they go to college? I mean, something as simple as technical analysis in the stock market and cryptocurrency gets described in all kinds of flowery language, when it's really constructed and it's been joked as being called astrology for men.
Yeah, I like that. Recognize pseudoscience. I haven't actually heard that one before. I like that idea. You had your
hand up. Very kind of similar as well, but what I find with my students, it's very helpful to understand science a little bit better and kind of misconceptions, but also helps with their faith with when you get to things like evolution and Big Bang, things that parents and students have more trouble kind of wrapping their head around. Distinguishing data from interpretation or result from inclusion or result from conclusion. And that can be tied into critical thinking as well, but you know, what the lay person is often hearing is a conclusion, which is not necessarily the result. So somehow fine-tuning the ability of students to identify a result from a conclusion or data from interpretation, because even, you know, it's very disarming for a student to realize that when you're studying creation, the data are not changing. If you're a young earth creationist, the world is created with the appearance of age. And when you think that through, the data aren't changing. The interpretation of how that came to be is going to be drastically different.
Right.
That might kind of touch on the critical thinking component.
Yeah, I like that. There was a hand here. Yes, sir.
Yeah. One is careers. I think there's a huge misconception among high school students about how many people could get into certain careers.
Mm.
And one person educated me on what high school students think about sports careers versus science.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're far more likely to get into a Major League Baseball team, for example, than to become a scientist.
Science.
And it's just astounding. And so I think some of that high school students should be educated more on
and they have a misunderstanding of kind of salary and making money, and right, like the doctors make money, the scientists make money. And,
right.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I like that point. I wrote that down. Yes.
I think along with the idea that there are careers in the and I'm guilty of this sometimes too, that there are careers in the sciences that are not simply physician, physical therapist.
Yeah.
Ecologists, you know, there's technician careers, there's nutritionists, there's, you know, research chemists and patent law and all these other things that it's not just a, you know, you work by yourself in a lab with no one else around you, and I'm not sure quite how that stereotyped that out there, but
Yeah, thank you. You guys were great. I didn't know, you know, if I have three hands and we'd be out of here 20 minutes ago, what was going to go on. But this is extremely helpful, and if we can impact what we're getting in our classroom because we're doing a better job with the K-12, then know that you contributed to that. If you're interested in learning about Integrate, then know. If you know someone at Christian High School or Homeschool Co-op that might be interested, you know, just there's a website. I'm here. Send email. Really appreciate your attention, your advice. I have 3 pages worth of notes. So thank you. I got lots to share with Faith. And enjoy your afternoon.